One of the smartest things you can do as a podcaster is innovate and learn from your audience. You suggested a show format where you get to follow the journey of each of the teams as they worked on each challenge every week, and we're giving it to you. This also means that the judging and elimination show will now be shorter going forward. Yay! And it's about time, because I know that when you went off to get tree mail, you were all secretly forming an alliance to vote me off the island. This changes everything. And it's all coming up right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to another week of America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett, and on this episode, we'll follow Bill and Bridget of the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs as they produce their storytelling podcast. We'll hear Tom's coaching and their final result at the end of the show. But before we get to that, let's recap the challenge that I issued to all the teams at the end of the last episode. Your challenge is this. No matter who you ask, you can't argue that storytelling podcasts have become hugely popular. And it's not just interviews, but personal stuff like Mike Rowe's The Way I Heard It, The Bitterest Pill, and Tim Coyne's Hollywood Podcast present a little bit of self-reflection and a little bit of entertainment into something that doesn't squarely fit into either category. And this week, we want to hear your story. Keeping in mind that, as usual, you're limited to a 5 to 10 minute podcast, we want you to tell us a story. Make it clear, make it concise, but most of all, make it compelling. It can be about something in the narrator's history or something more recent, but get it to us by our usual deadline and make sure to let us know how each team member contributed. I'm here with Bill of the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs. Hey, Bill.
How's it going?
Good. Another tense judging and elimination session last night, but you guys were spared the axe, fortunately.
Thank goodness.
Yes. Yeah, you guys, I think, had a great comedy podcast with Unbalanced, with you being the straight man and Bridget being the kind of off the wall. And it wasn't until Justin mentioned Loveline that I made that connection, but it was a great parallel to the old Loveline show.
Yeah, I don't know if Bridget had ever seen that, because she's like 10 years younger than me, but I remember watching it, but I had totally forgot about it until he mentioned it. And I was like, oh yeah, man, Adam Carolla, worst advice ever.
Exactly. Adam Carolla and Bridget providing the worst advice.
That's right.
Hers intentionally. So now we're on our way to the storytelling podcast.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any idea what story you're going to tell?
Well, I mean, I tried to think of, like, because Jerry said something like, you know, think of that story that you don't want to tell. That's the one you got to tell. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I kept thinking, like, I don't really have any stories that I'd be like, oof, I wouldn't tell that one. Maybe one's about drinking a lot when I was younger, but most of those stories are pretty short. Like, there's not a lot of lead up. So filling 10 minutes is a little scary. And talking to Bridget, she said that she had a couple of ideas that she was going to talk about an embarrassing story that happened to her that subsequently after this story, from that moment on, mm-hmm. her dad always knocked before walking in her room. So I don't know what the story is yet. I'm blissfully in the dark at this point. I think that what's going to happen, well, we've got a couple of options, and I'm not sure which one we're going to go with, but we're thinking that she would just go ahead and tell the story. It would just be like a one-woman show, and I would do all the production stuff behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And the other option that we – it was actually my wife's idea. She was – because my little office is like right next to our bedroom, so she kept shouting in as I was talking to Bridget, and she goes, you should tell Bridget's story, and especially be like, we thought it'd be really funny because Bridget, like, the story that she is telling, you know, is a female story.
Right.
And hearing it come out of my face would be kind of funny. I don't know if that would be bad. I mean, I know we're not in the comedy week, so it's not like the reason that we would do it, but
right.
It might be more fun to listen to if it's delivered by somebody of the opposite gender. So I don't know. I just thought like that's an idea that we thought was humorous. Keeping in mind that I still don't know what the story is. So what we're going to do is we're both going, like she said that she's going to script it. Mm-hmm. And then we're both going to sit down and we'll both record it. And then we'll both, see which one probably sounds better.
Works the best. That's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great way to do it too. And I think that's what's really clever about that is you're taking the typical one person narrator, tell a story kind of podcast, and you're completely turning it on its ear by doing that, which I think is a great a great way to create extra interest, a great way to create extra intrigue to the story. And I even think if you if she begins it or you begin it with, let me tell you about the reason my dad will only ever knock when he comes to my room, or, mm-hmm. or would never come to my room without knocking. It seems like the best lead in and the kind of tease that Drew was talking about that does work for a situation like this.
Yeah, my only hesitation for me reading it. Mm-hmm. Is the idea that Jury said that he did something similar at Nerdtacular, and I don't like being derivative.
Yes, right.
So I like that. That makes me a little nervous. I know you can't give advice. I was just...
Of course. But yeah, as long as you come up with a compelling reason why you'd be reading it instead of her, even if it's a made-up...
Bill tells your story so you don't have to.
Right, exactly. Excellent. Well, I'm excited. Whatever you come up with, I'm really excited to hear it. And I'm absolutely in suspense on what this story is, as I'm sure you are as well.
I am.
Let's hear from Tom.
If you like, I've got feedback from last week's episode. Do. Okay.
Feedback first. Yes.
If I had any criticism, it's that it maybe felt too real sometimes.
Too real?
No, maybe not so much you, Bridget.
But oh, okay.
The responses
I was
were
afraid of that.
Your responses were actually helpful. Maybe could have used a funnier turn to you somehow, or changed the dynamic. You kind of did that when Bridget did the fake out, and you were like, oh, that's actually really good advice, and then you turned it again, which was great. But honestly, this was awesome, Bridget. You came out strong. You stayed strong. Your advice was hilariously horrible. You had a couple of nice back and forths in the bits. I loved the Warcraft answer so much about making your kid a healer. That was it was fantastic. So good job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We were worried about actually interacting with each other. So we ended up having it be like mostly like Bill's like, ugh, just let her say her thing. But then I think the judges were telling us, oh, more interaction, or it didn't feel authentic. So yeah. We weren't sure if it would have been better to have attention drawn to how psychotic I was, or just like, ugh, this is the norm.
Yeah. And that would be my feedback is, you know, more interaction is usually not a bad thing. And, okay. And, if you could have turned the tables at one point where, you know, where Bill said something a little outrageous, you know, but still in character somehow, which makes it hard. And Bridget gets offended that, you know,
that would have been great if I gave some advice and she, even if it went outrageous and she was just like,
ew, really?
Oh my God, I can't believe you would tell them to do that.
Like, yeah. 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 So you've got the personal story assignment, which is much easier than comedy in execution. But of course, the trick is figuring out a good personal story that's going to keep people interested for the time period. What are you guys thinking?
Go ahead, Bridget.
I think we got a good one. So what we ended up doing is after they signed that, I started writing out stories about my dad and like growing up in childhood. So I was like, I've got some good ones that are pretty good. And I ended up writing this whole essentially story out, and then Bill ended up dry reading it. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill, when you sent it to me, it was like 7 minutes long, and he ended up mm-hmm. like the way he wrote it or way he read it was really good. And we end up having, I don't know, like Bill, essentially, so I wrote it, Bill read it. Bill, what do you think? Do you think it's intriguing enough to keep your attention for 10 minutes?
I definitely think it is. So what ended up happening kind of by accident, and you're not allowed to tell the judges that, but kind of by accident, is as Bridget wrote this, it is not obvious that it is a woman writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of the podcast is it's called autobiography, where mm-hmm. I tell your story so that you don't have to.
Oh,
so
I like that.
I'm reading her story and everything just seems like a normal, like, oh, okay, this is the story of some guy talking about his dad. And then it takes a left turn. And when you realize it, you're like, oh, it's a woman telling this story.
Mm, yeah. Nice.
I like, we kind of liked how that went. We had a couple of, well, what are your reactions to that first time?
Well, you actually like answered one of my first concerns was having someone read someone else's story feels like a trickier situation because something's always going to sound more authentic coming from a person, but you turn that on its head very nicely by saying, no, the premise of the show is that I read other people's stories. So right from the get-go, you know that. I think that's great. I'm curious what the story is.
I mean,
go ahead, Bridget.
It?
You can give them the TLDR.
So essentially what the story is, I was growing up, I was a teenager around the time, and I would sleep late, and my dad would always come in and bother me when I was sleeping to listen to music. And he did this a lot. So mm-hmm. the story essentially is one of those days where he came in to bother me and I was like, get the F out, like, go away. I'm trying to sleep. And I like roll over my bed and he quickly leaves. And I realize after he leaves, I'm wearing a tank top with no bra and my ladies decided to just escape through the sides. Oh, and no. I was like, he left really quick. Normal back and forth is a little bit longer than this. And I go out and confront him to find out that he saw them essentially. So it's like a, you know, it's a growing up story of like, I'm no longer his little girl. Like we essentially like crossed that point.
Yeah.
And I was worried, we were talking about me reading it versus Bill reading it, us both reading it. And I was really concerned. But then listening to him read what I wrote, he caught the emotion that exactly what I was writing. And towards the end, we do another left turn and I kind of do a last paragraph about my dad who had passed away. Mm. And when Bill's reading it for the first time as a dry read, I could tell that he, cause I told,
all
I told
him, to read.
Yeah. All I told him, I said it was really hard to write. And you could tell for him it was hard to read. So I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or not. Like I when I heard him read it, it pretty much was like I got the emotion exactly how I felt when I was writing it that it came across with him.
Okay, that's good. Because this story is a great one for this concept, right? Because you want to have that moment where people go, oh wait a minute,
yeah,
this is definitely not Bill's story.
Yeah,
and. It's all in the execution of to make it interesting. You've hit on all the things that make it interesting. It's, you know, coming of age and daughter's relationship with her father and all of that. It could fall flat. I'm not saying it's going to. It doesn't sound like it's going to. It could fall flat if it was like if you ended up with the audience saying like, so what? You know, so her dad was a little embarrassed. Why is that a big story? Right. Like it's all about giving that.
Oh, we definitely didn't.
Yeah. It's all about giving that context of, you know, building it up to like, no, the dad never was embarrassed to mess with her. And it was always about, you know, like playing music and a fun thing. You don't want it to sound creepy. And then this happens and it's a surprise of like, wait, wow, he left really fast. So I'm 100% confident that you're gonna execute on that. It sounds like he did it the way you thought it. So that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Are you in the show at all, or Bridget, or is it just Bill?
So we ended up having him. It's going to be him reading it, and then I mm-hmm. submitted it as a reader. So at the end, he's going to write that the submission was written by me. Because it's supposed to be him writing his mm-hmm. supposed to be him reading these stories. So I pretty much wrote the entire thing and it's him reading it.
But I guess I would hope that at the very beginning of this, you make it clear, like this is a series of shows where I read your stories, right?
Yes.
You
don't want
to
get away
with it. It's a woman. Yes. But you want to make that premise clear for this to work. I was just curious if your voice was on it at all. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Because I could see this kind of series having like a little MP3 sent in by the people that you play at the end or something like that. That might be a bad idea.
We have something better because I actually went and got music from my dad.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
So there's potentially that, or we were trying to figure out if there needed to be, that's one of the questions we want to ask you is, does there need to be some interaction after he's read it where it's like, oh, you know, thank you for the story. It was really moving, or something. So we weren't sure if just having the story and ending the episode was enough.
That's going to be a judgment call that I would have to be in there listening to it with you to make. It's not a bad idea, right? It could be the cherry on top. That's like, and now we'll talk to the actual story's author, Bridget, you know, yeah, et cetera. It might be a little hard to actually pull that off if this were a real podcast every time, but you know, you could play it off as like, we do it as often as I can. On the other hand, it sounds like you've got a really powerful punch and you don't want to undermine that. So you wouldn't want to add you at the end unnecessarily and have the judges go, oh, you had such a good story, and then you kind of, you know, pulled the curtain back or something. So you kind of have to judge that yourself, whether you want to go that. It's an option, right? You're just going to have to call Squarespace on that.
I had another question. There's a part in the middle of the story where it's very funny, and I'm trying to read it and I chuckle, and then my instinct was to leave it in because it's a cold read.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's okay to leave, like, because I'm reading something and then the next line is very funny and I chuckle just a little bit before I read it. And what do you think about that?
And it's hard because when I hear him, it's like I know what he's going to be saying, you know, because I'm too close to the content.
I can see it working just fine. Because we as the audience know you're reading someone else's story. So it's going to signal to us like, oh, this next bit's going to be funny. And as long as it's not, as long as it doesn't interrupt or there's like a big pause, or as long as it doesn't break the flow, I think it's probably okay.
And that is
definitely definitely if we go this route, we need to make sure it's crystal clear before the story starts that he's reading someone else's.
Yeah. For your entire concept to work at its best, you need to make that clear. Like, at the beginning, like, this is not Bill's stories. This is Bill reading your stories. And I'll do my best every week to try to, you know, get your story across the best I can.
And that's time.
Okay.
Oh, dang it, Hammond, with your little stopwatch.
You guys, I have to say, I'm super bullish on this. I think it's a great idea. And I love that you've got a really good story and a twist and everything. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Thank
you. We shall malamund that. Sorry.
What's that?
Is it Shyamalan?
I got it.
Oh, I didn't get it. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill, and welcome to Autobillography. Each week, I take a story written by you, the listener, and I share it with the rest of the world. Everyone has at least one great story, whether it be funny, sweet, sad, rage-inducing, or even dirty. If this story inspires you, and you'd like me to share your story, send them to tinyurl.com/autobillography. This week, I'm going to share with you a story about a man who finally learned to knock first. Growing up with two older sisters wasn't always easy, especially when we were all trying to be the favorite child. But with my dad, I think that we have something special. We had stuff that only we did together. We restored classic cars. We both loved music and art. And I'm proud to say, he nicknamed me the Littlest Haib. But today, I want to share one of my favorite or most embarrassing stories of my father. It's how he learned to knock on a door. Growing up, my dad was always excited to share his latest creation with me, music. My dad was a music man. When he wasn't working during the week, his favorite days were Saturday and Sunday. It was very common in my house to wake up on a Sunday morning to the smell of burning incense and to him playing on the piano downstairs. In fact, he was always in a band, and I remember sneaking down past my bedtime into our basement to be surrounded by mic and amp cords with a hint of smoke and beer in the air and just listen to him play at the keyboard with the band. He always let me stay for a few songs, and as soon as I was able to play a few notes, we would jam out together, quite often since we both learned to play by ear. So he was always excited to share his next track with me. Fast forward to when I was about, I don't know, 16 or 17, I had a job working the graveyard shift at a local diner.
I would come home at 4 a.m. and sleep for a bit and then head back to work at about 5 p.m. And almost every weekend, my dad would abruptly interrupt my sleep schedule to share music with me. He did this in a loving way, but bursting into my room was very jarring. It was also easy, since I did not have the ability to lock the door due to him putting it in incorrectly years earlier. In fact, the door hung in such a way that it would make a loud pop, so you could hear the air pressure change in the room. It would easily wake me from a deep sleep. So on this particular life-changing day, my dad just finished his final touches on his news track. He would say to me every time I listened to it, "Now this is the part that they show the helicopters flying over traffic right now." So I've heard this track a lot, but each time he changed it, he would become so excited that he would burst into my room without warning. Pop goes the door, and in comes the yelling. "You got to hear this, man. You got to hear this, man. Come on, man. You got to hear this." This day started like all the others. He was riled up. "You got to hear this, man. Get up. I got this new track," he said. And I, of course, being exhausted from work, grumbled, "Get out, Dad. I'm trying to sleep." He would then come over and nudge me and antagonize me. "Get up and get pumped. Let's listen to this new song." And I'd yell louder, and he would eventually leave, laughing at me, saying, "You're missing out, man. You're missing out." That was the deal. This is how this worked. Well, this time it played out a little differently. I grumbled my initial protest to leave my bedroom. I could feel him crossing my room to come bother me, so I yelled at him again to get out, and I flipped the blanket over to turn my back to him. And then all of a sudden, there was silence. I could hear him quickly walking away from me, saying, Oh, sorry, I'm going to leave you alone." And then he shut the door, hard. I sat there for a moment thinking, that was weird. He didn't come over to pick on me, and he left really quick. This was at first. Then I realized my tank top didn't feel quite right. I felt uncovered, and then I remembered. The tank top was a man's top, which I stole from my sister's boyfriend at the time. They tended to leave clothes around, so I thought I'd score a comfy shirt to sleep in. But it being a man's top meant it also had wide armpit holes. And as I lied there, face down on my pillow, laying on my arms, I felt my girls had decided to escape through the sides of my tank top and were exposed. I thought, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. The wheels are turning. My dad practically ran out of the room. There was no banter between us. There was none of the usual banter between us. Oh my God, I think my dad saw my boobs. I sat there in my bed, feeling my face get hotter and redder. Is this what happened? What do I do? Do I say something? Do I not say something? Oh my God, if I say something, what could I say? Maybe he didn't see. But what if he did? He had to have. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to know. So I shot out of bed, put a bra on, a different shirt, and cautiously and quietly stepped out of my room. Each step down my hallway was painfully noticeable, since we had wooden floors that creaked the whole way down, so I'm sure we both could hear me slowly walking, looking for him. I found my dad on the computer trying really hard to avoid eye contact with me, and I'm pretty sure he was pretending to do something on the computer to avoid me. The only way I can describe what his face was doing is shifty eyes, where a person is trying to look to the side without moving their head, so you just see their one eye dart to you and quickly look away. But then they look at you again to see if they caught you the first time. I feared the worst, so I mustered all the courage, crossed my arms over my chest, and all I said... and all I said was, "You saw them, didn't you?" He immediately shot out of his chair and started freaking out and said, "I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything." And that's when my brain shut off with embarrassment. I checked the fuck out. I don't honestly remember what else was said. I don't remember being mad. I might have laughed, but probably not. But after that moment, he never walked into my room without knocking again. I think after a few months, we laughed about it. After I would bring it up every once in a while to embarrass him. It might not be one of those tug-at-your-heartstrings stories, but to me, it kinda is. I lost my dad only a year or two after this incident. And every time I remember this story, I remember him and all the faces he would make, the dirty jokes he told us, the funny things we drew together, the music we made. He sure knew how to pack in as much good times as he could with the time we had with each other. I love you hard, your littlest, Haib. This week's story was written by Bridget Michelle, who also sent us a sample of her dad's music. You're listening to it right now. Thanks everyone for listening, and don't forget to knock.
There you have it, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg's entry into this week's challenge. On the next episode, we'll follow the podcasteers as they work on their storytelling entry. And later this week, the Three Yanks and an Aussie team's progress, as well as the judging and elimination episode. All coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.